The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. Tisku L'mitzvot. Dav Vav. Today's Dav has been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Refuah Shelema, Shlomo ben Esther, who is undergoing surgery today. Enna refanado, enna refanado, enna refanado. Veragle chasidav yishmor. Refuat nefesh, refuat guf, refuat oker, omad abo vechen yirasom venomar.
Amen.
We begin today's daf on daf he amud bet, and we are going to start from 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom. We learned on yesterday's daf that according to Nabi Meir, the source for a wall of a sukkah that has to be at least 10 tefachim, meaning you have to have at least 10 tefachim of airspace in the halal of the sukkah, he actually learned it from the kirubim. And the fact that we know that the kirubim in the Mishkan went one third the way up the height of the Mishkan, meaning that the Mishkan's height was 60 tefachim, which is 10 amot, which is 60 tefachim based on a 6 tefach amah. And since it went up a third, which we learned from the Beit HaMikdash, so therefore we know the Aron was 10, and then the Kiruvim must have reached the 20 Tefach level. And it says that the Kiruvim were Sochechim, right? It says they hovered over like a Sukkah, and they were Lema'ala, they were a little above the heads of the Kiruvim, which is if you measured from under the wing of the Kiruvim to the top of the Kaporet, you had exactly 10 tefachim, and it says sochechim, it's melashon sukkah, so that's how you know that a sukkah is 10 tefachim. That should not be confused with what we learned on the Amud Rishon, that the source of the kaporet being a tefach, that we had other proofs, that either we learned from the fact that it says peneh, and we know that panim is a tefach, or we learned it from the misgeret, that was the shi'ur of the rim, or the frame around the shulchan. That's a separate limud. Now we're discussing the limud of, how do you know the sukkah shi'ur minimally is 10 tefachim? So according to the Meir, we explain it's from the Mishkan, from the Kerubim. Problem is, according to the Bihuda, he subscribed to a tefa, to an amma of 5 tefachim. Mm-hmm. Right? There's different shurim of the amma. So according to him, the aron and the kaporet all together was 8.5 tefachim. Now again, it also went up to one third of the shiur of the height of the mishkan. According to him, the height and the structure itself was 60, because he follows a 6 tefachim amah when it comes to structure. He only follows a 5 tefach amah when it comes to vessels. So therefore the kirubim, they reached again the 20 tefach level. But since the aron is 8.5 high, so from the 20 down to 8.5, you'll have 11.5. So according to him, you're going to say a sukkah has to be 11.5 tefachim? Is that going to be so? How does he know that it's 10? So he says, no, he has halakha l'moshe m'sinai, which means we have a tradition that said shi'urin hatzitzin u'mechitzin. Shi'urin, which means the different measurements for different isurim, halakha m'sinai m'sinai. For example, a kizayit, or a kabetza, or a kakotevet gasa, etc. That all those shi'urim are from Hanakam Hashem Sinai, as well as Hatzitzin. Hatzitzin is the laws of Hatzitza, interpositions when a person goes to the mikveh, which we'll learn about today. And also Mechitzin. What is Mechitzin? The size of a Mechitza. What's the size of a Mechitza? The Sukkah. There's got to be 10 Tefachayim. So that's the different views of how you know a Sukkah has to be at least minimally 10 Tefachayim. So now the Gemara comes along and says, Shi'urim Deoraita Ninu. So what are you talking me? You tell me to be with us, Shi'urim Alakhan Moshe B'Sinai? What are you talking? It's Beferush Pasuk in the Torah that teaches us the Shi'urim. It's not Alakhan Moshe B'Sinai. It's explicitly written in the Torah. Dechtiv Eres Chita Us'ora Vegefen Ut'ena V'rimmon Eres Zet Shemen Udvash. Where the Torah describes to us the seven species that Eres Yisrael is praised by. Ve'amar Rav Hanin, Rav Hanin said, "Kol ha-pasuk hazeh l'shi'urim ne'emar." All this pasuk, when it's listing the different species, is actually coming to tell us different measurements for different items. Chita, when it says wheat, lebet ha-minuga, this is referring to someone that enters a house of a mitzora. She's not saying the house has sarah, toris tum'ah. So a person who enters the house is going to become tameh. Now he becomes tameh immediately. The question is going to be, the clothes that he's wearing, there's a shi'ud of time that he has to remain in the house before the clothes that he's wearing becomes tameh. Not to be confused with the clothes that say that he's carrying. If he walks in carrying clothes or vessels, that has the same deen of immediate tum'ah. However, the discussion is how long do the clothes that he's wearing until the tum'ah sets in that he has to dip them in the mikveh. Dipna nechnas lebet minuga. A guy enters the house of a nega v'chenav al ketefav. And let's say he's holding his vessels, not wearing them, he has them on his shoulder. He has his shoes and he has his rings, holding them in his hands, meaning he's not wearing them. That she says on the bottom, without any delay. Anything that comes into the house, yitma. When you're not wearing them, it's considered coming into the house. So therefore, it came into the house, so therefore it's mitzvah immediately. Oh, but if he was wearing his vessels, and he's wearing his shoes on his feet, and he has his rings on his fingers, again, the guy is tameh miyat, immediately. Ve'en tehorin ad shi'yishah, and they become tameh only after a certain amount of time. What's the time? Mechdei akilat paris. The time that it would take somebody to eat half a loaf of bread. A loaf that measures 8 betzim. Eating half of that, that's pras. So that would be the shi'ud that it takes to eat 4 betzim of bread. What type of bread? Pat chitin. That would be wheat bread. Velo pat se'urim. Because pat chitin, it's easier to eat. As she says, it has a better taste. So therefore, it's more quicker, you're able to eat it. Mesev ve'ochel. Eating it in a reclining fashion, as opposed to, let's say, eating it on the run, where, let's say, people on the run may eat their food a little faster. So we're talking about now he's eating it in a, you know, a slow fashion. He's leaning like they used to do. Biliftan. And he's eating it with a dip, which means he's not just eating the bread alone. Right. Some say that when you eat it with something else, you also eat it slower because you have to also eat the other stuff. So it slows you down. As opposed to just sticking the bread in your mouth right away, there's different ways of learning. Is this to make the shi'ud bigger or make the shi'ud smaller? Amongst these shulim, you find two opinions. But the point is, when it says in the pasuk, Eres chita, there's a rule there. Chita, to teach me that when a guy goes into the bet ha-minuga and he has his clothes on him, so the shi'ud for them to become tameh is the amount of time that it would take somebody to eat a achilat, of four betzim of patchita meseh ve'ochel beliftan. Well, let's say that's for argument's sake, 7 minutes. So that's the shiur. Anything before that time, it's not going to become tamir the clothes that he's wearing. Now she explains. Top line, haya lavush kelav. Once he's wearing his clothes, now she says the ikriu lehu begadav. Now they're called begadim. They're not called kedim anymore. How tamei miyad? The guy's always tamei miyad. Dichtiv vehaba el abayit yitma. Vehen teorin ad sheyeshe dichtiv. It says in Vayikra Yudal veaochel bebayit yechabes. Vedarshinam betorat kohanim en liela ochel. Which means that's only talking about, let's say, somebody that eats veshochev, and he eats and he's lying down. Those type of people will become tameh. Ochel belo shochev. Let's say he eats, but he doesn't lie down. Shochev belo ochel, or he lies down and doesn't eat. Lo ochel belo shochev, or he doesn't do either of these things. Minay, I didn't know that tumah sets in. Tamud lomad yechabes begadav riba. The pasuk says several times yechabes begadav. Shtei pa'amim ketiv yechabes begadav. He has to wash his clothes in the mikveh. Ve'im sofenu lerabot hakol. So if you tell me that everything is tameh, whether he walks in, or he eats in the house, whether he sleeps in the house, whatever he does in the house is tameh. So the Gemara, the Midrash says, mal tamud lomar va'ochel. So then what are you talking about ochel? If any type of actions in the house is going to render him tameh, why is the pasuk specifically talking about if he's eating? Niten shi'ur leshochev kedei achila. So it's giving a rule that a guy that's shochev, how long is the tum'ah going to set in? The shi'ur that it takes to be ochel. She'en ta'un kibus begadim ad shi'yesheh kedei achila. Which means the tum'ah does not set in until he waits the shi'ur of achila. Ve'gufo tameh miyad. Again, he himself is going to be tameh immediately. Da'aki k'div ha'ba el ha'bayit yitma. Ha'ba, once he walks in. Ve'lo ketiv kibus begadim. It doesn't say that he washes his clothes. It means he himself, ha'ba himself, the guy that's coming in is tameh miyad. Va'ochel be'bayit de'haynu shohe kedeh achila yechabes begadav. But everything else, that when he comes into the house, he has to wait the shi'ud of achel. So when it says ba'ochel, it means a guy that comes in for, besides himself, meaning his begadim, anything that's not considered ba'i labayit. When you're carrying your clothes, that's ba'i labayit. It's not lovesh, it's not considered wearing. So therefore the deen is what? The shi'ud is kedeh achilad. Now she says achilad paris, hatzi kikar, half a loaf. שיערו חכמים אותו למזון שתי סעודות לעירוב דתם בעירובין חציה לבית המנוגה. Like the Gemara said in עירובין, and it's considered מזון שתי סעודות. מזון שתי סעודות would be a full loaf. She's each meal would be considered, let's say, four betzim. So we say a paris is half of a meal, meaning one meal. In Erubin you need two meals. So this is considered one of the meals, meaning four betzim of a loaf of 8 betzim. Pat chatin shehiyata mu'etet mishel se'orim. So that she clearly says when you eat chatin, you can eat it faster because it's tastier. Okay, mesev leaning. והיינו דרך אכילה, מישהו מסב הוא עסוק באכילה ואין לו תרות בדברים אחרים. So from Rashid's master over here also, that when you're leaning, you eat faster as well. Because he's saying when you're leaning, you're not involved with other things. And therefore, you're concentrating on the eating, and therefore you eat more. As opposed to, let's say, you were walking or you're doing something else, so your mind is preoccupied with other items. Okay? So that's the first one. Eres chita. Comes the next one and says, Se'ora Bali. Nitnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Esem kis'ora. A bone the size of a barley. Metameh b'maga u'masa. Is metameh if somebody touches it, or masa if somebody lifts it, even without touching it. If just the se'ora is lifted, it's on a plate. And you lift the plate, that's a masa, so it's also going to become metameh. Ve'en o metameh be'ohen. But the bone fragment, the size of a se'ora, does not bring tum'at ohen. Meaning if it's in the house with a roof, and a guy walks into that house, there's no tum'at on the guy. Now she says, Esem kis'ora minamet. A Okay, we're talking about Isim Kisura from a met, huh? That's Rabbi Yochanan's son.
There's a bone.
So it says, okay, what did he have to say? It was less than a seora. You have to say, some say it was a tooth. So Mahlok is exactly what he was wearing. We have to take a simple answer. It's less than a seora. Ve'eno metame be'ohel kishi'ur ze ad shiyesh shidra. Tum'at oil for these bones is only either if you have the shidra, the spinal column in the bayit, or gilgolet shelema, or the full skull, or rov minyan evre adam, or the majority of the frame of the person in bones. She's by, let's say, the leg and things like that, where all the bones are. So that's when you have tumat oil. So again, there's only three ways you can have tumat oil by bones: either spinal column, or skull, or rov atzamot, rov bones of the frame of the body. So therefore, the Gemara is telling you when it says in the Torah, "Eres hita usora." Seora is coming to teach you the shiur of etzem that it's metame b'maga umasa. Now what do we have? Eres hita usora, the gefen. And gefen is grapes. So the Gemara says, "Gefen, kederi mi'it yayin lenazir." Gefen is coming to tell you the shi'ur of a revi'it of wine for a nazir. What is this referring to? So that she says, Keder gefen, mashi aruba, what's the shi'ur of gefen, of grapes? Keder revi'it yain, bish'ar isure nazir, regarding other isurim of the nazir, which is not the isur of drinking wine. You know, drinking wine is asur. Now we're discussing the ikal iman damal basikhat nazir, the harsanim, velulbin, ve'alim. Those are the grape pits, the grape leaves, the lulavim is like the stalks of the grapes. All those are also asur for the nazir. Anything that comes, right, for, connected to the grapes. Mistarfin the shi'ur of vi'it yayin. So the shi'ur of eating these items is in the vi'it. Now you can ask a question, what do you mean? The vi'it is a liquid measure. These items over here are a solid items. How do you convert a solid item and give a shiur of a devi'it? And the Gemara says even it's mistaref, meaning if you ate half ludavim and half harsanim and all that, it can mistaref to the shiur of a devi'it. So that she says it's using the principle of displacement. She'im yitenem lekos maleyayin, if you place these items into a cup filled with wine, ad she'etzem memenu devi'it yayin, until it displaces the devi'it of yayin, that's the shiur. Now you're going to ask me, what do you mean yayin? For that matter, what water? What do you say? What's the difference yayin? So that she says, ve'en domeh mishayin bekos male mayim lemishayin beyayin. You can't compare the displacement of wine to water. Why? Mishum deyayin avu, because the wine is thicker. Ve'en domeh mishayin latzet ela nivratz v'nigdash asfat hakos yoter min hamayim. It collects and it sticks to the rim of the cup, so it's thicker more than water. So therefore, you'd have to put more in order to displace the wine out. So that's what it means when it says "Eres feta usora vegefen." The shoot of gefen was said the foodstuffs that are forbidden to a nazir, that they're not asur until you eat the shi'ud of how much will displace a devi'it of yayin. Okay. Eres chita usora vegefen utena. Now we get to the fig. Teena kigrogeret leotzaat Shabbat. Remember, we learned in Masechet Shabbat that the inyan carrying on Shabbat. So you have to carry an item that has a certain amount of hashivut. Right? Carrying less than the shi'ur of a te'ena, of a fig, is not hayav min haTorah. Because they said that that's a shi'ur already that you would protect, that you are concerned about, it's important, it's significant. So te'ena is for Shabbat. Kashi, te'ena ma shi'aru bo. Which means when it comes to food stuff, carrying food stuff on Shabbat, you don't consider a food hashuv until it has the shi'ur at least of a te'ena, a fig. Rimon, now we get to the case of pomegranates. Nitnan, kol keli ba'ale batim shi'urad karmonim. Now we know if you have, let's say, a wooden vessel, as long as it's a vessel, vessel means it holds things, so it's able to receive tum'ah. When does a vessel lose its ability to receive tum'ah? When it becomes non-functional anymore, when it becomes broken. So the she'ira is, how broken is a vessel that it's not going to receive tum'ah anymore? So the Gemara says here, for a balabayit, for a guy that has private vessels, not a craftsman. So the shi'ud is, if there's a hole in the vessel, the size of a rimon, then already it's considered broken. Because a balabayit, he's cheap when it comes to his vessels. He's not going to throw it out. If, let's say, there's a hole the size of an olive, he'll put other stuff that's bigger than an olive in there so it doesn't fall out. Right? But once already it's a big hole in the keli the size of a pomegranate, he's not going to start storing cantaloupe in there. He's going to just say, I'm not using it anymore, and therefore loses its status of a keli. So if a rimon is the size in order to render a keli of a balabayit, tahor. Look at Rashi. Called keli ba'alim batim shi'aru benikbehem, in their holes, kerimon. Da'ad shenikav kemotzi rimon, until it has a hole that any mod can slip through it. Shem keli alav umikabel tuma lefi shebaal abayit has al kelav. Because the baal abayit, he's concerned, or he's has, he has mercy literally on his vessels. Ukshehu motzi zetim, right, when it has a hole that olives slip out, humishtamez morimunim, we use it for bigger fruit. Like the monim, aval kli uman, but you should know a craftsman she'omed li mecher, that's selling these vessels, tahor benekev kol shehu. Even a drop hole, guy's selling it. You can't sell a candy that has a hole in it. Yeah. But for a uman, the shoot is much less. Now, it should be noted that Tosfot over here first says, "Kol keli ba'alei batim shi'uran kerimonim gabe keli etz mitniyah." So we're talking about over here a wooden vessel. Aval bechli cheres tam beperek shlishit dekelim ha'asui le'ochlin shi'uram kezetim ha'asui le'mashkim. The Gemara says over there, shi'uran, the shi'ur of mashkim is that the water can go in and out. It's able to go in the holes big enough that the water can enter and exit the same way. It's from both sides. The point is, what you're saying, that there's a difference between keli etz and keli cheres. This is discussing only wooden vessels. The next Tosfot brings a question. Look at the Tosfot shi'uran. כנמונים במסכת כלים תנן הנמונים שאהבנו שלושה אחוזים זה בזה. Oh, it says that when we say the shiur of נמונים, it means three נמונים. Now what does that mean? Three נמונים? They tell me it's a massive, massive hole. So Tosfot says, ולא שישריך נקב גדול כל כך כדי שיצאו שלושתם בבת אחת. Don't think it means that it's a big enough hole that three נמונים can exit it in one shot. אלא אחד לבד. It's only referring to one at a time. Da'amad b'sof ha-matzniyah kemotzi rimon. And in Masechet Shabbat, it's also used like kemotzi rimon. It doesn't say kemotzi rimonim. Kemotzi rimon is mashma. It's the size that one rimon can. Fitru mashma, rimon echad. De lo ka'amar, rimonim. In any event, go down a little in the Tosafot. V'nir'eh l'faresh. So Tosafot explains. Now what does it mean, three rimonim? דהד רקד שלושה נמונים אחוזים, דאף על פי שמוציאם זה אחר זה, אין נוחין לצאת דרך נקב שר, כמו שהיא יוצא זה אחר זה בפני עצמו. It means like this, but you have three נמונים that are attached. They're still, you know, attached to the branch, however it grows, right? So, the hole has to be big enough that when you have three attached to the monim, you'll be able to squeeze the three the monim back to back through the same hole. Mm-hmm. Tosfot says you need a bigger hole when they're attached to get them through. As opposed to, let's say they were separate, they can be narrower and you could put it through. So it says three nimonim, it means when the three nimonim are attached, you only have to fit one of them through, the size of one, but it's got to have the ability to fit three attached nimonim through it, which is a little bigger. Then Tosfot brings another pirush. Od yesh lefaresh. Tenakat shlosha achozim ze bazeh, three attached limonim, mishum dirimon degadal yechidim bifna atzmo, o shnayim gedolim yoter midai. Vegedolim arba'a achozim ketanim yoter midai. Aval hagedolim shlosha benonim shalim bahem. When it says three limonim attached, according to the second answer to Tosfot, it's explaining the size of the limonim. Because limonim grow, it seems, in clusters. If you have a cluster of two nimonim, they're bigger. It's not talking about those size nimonim. If you have a cluster of nimonim that are four, they're smaller. It's not talking about those nimonim. It's talking about the size of a nimon that's in a cluster of three, which is benonim. So those are the two explanations of Tosafot, how he deals with that problem that says three nimonim. Either it means three attached and you have to squeeze three of them through the same hole, which would need a wider hole since they're attached, a little more flexibility. Or it means the size of a nimon that's from a cluster of three. Comes the Gemara and continues. Eres zet shemen. Right, the end of the pasuk says it's the land of oil, olive, grapes. Olives, grapes, olives. Eres zet shemen, olive oil. That's what I mean to say. Eres zet shemen. So what does this mean? Eres zet shemen. Eres shekol shiurei kizetim. The land that all its measurements are kezayit. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean all its measurements are kezayit? All the measurements, we know there's different shiurim. You have kabesa, you have kakotevet. We just gave a shiur of te'ena. Gemara says, hay kahani da'amrinan. We just said the shiurim that we just mentioned. Hadas, aura, gefen, te'ena, remon. Everything's a zayit. Okay, which means the majority of its shi'urim are kezayit. So that she gives examples. Met, right? Kezayit amet, fatum'ah. You have nevela, right? A kezayit of an animal that wasn't slaughtered properly. It's a nevela. That also has tum'ah. Visur helev, vedam, blood, pigul, that's the korban that they had the wrong kavana. Venotar, that's leftovers. Vetameh, the shi'ur of food that becomes tameh. Furthermore, gida nasheh, that's the sciatic nerve, the vein, that's the shi'ur of isur. So therefore, when it comes to isurim, the majority shi'ur is what? Kezayit. Dvash. Okay, what is dvash?
Honey.
Dvash is honey, but in the pasuk is referring to dates. So the Gemara says, "Kotev et gasa b'yom kippurim." That teaches us what the shiur for eating on Kippur. Since the Torah doesn't say don't eat, the Torah says afflict yourself. Afflict yourself means you can't eat until enough shiur that will take you out of affliction. So that shiur is what kotev et gasa, a fat date. That's what it means, dvash. So the Gemara's question is, Alma deolaita ninu. Rabbi Yehuda, you come along and tell me, Shi'urim ala kalam Hashem Sinai. What are you talking about? Eres, fetah, sorah, v'gever, utanah, v'nimon, eres, etchem, udvash. We see that it's all Shi'urim. Adeolaita. So the Gemara says, hold it. V'tispera. What? Does it make sense to think that these are in the Torah? Shi'urim mi ketive? Does it say any shi'urim? It talks about wheat. Does it say anything about a bit of beduga? In that pasuk, it says se'ura. It says about etzim. It says gefen. It mentions the word nazir in this pasuk. Ela ilchetaninu v'kra asmachta be'alma. Gemara says, really? It's halakha v'shem Sinai. And this pasuk, what is it? It's an asmachta. What does asmachta mean? Which means there was a law that already was given orally v'Sinai. But the Hachamim wanted the people to remember the halakha. So then what they do, they found the remez in the Torah, and therefore they hung their law on this pasuk. Not that the pasuk is coming to teach you that. The pasuk is coming to teach you something totally different. And the explanation is that what? Halakha Moshev Yisrael is only an asmachta. Good? Comes the Gemara and says, Hatzitzin. Right, we said that Hatzitzin is the laws of Hatzitzah, the laws of a interposition on a person's body for going into the mikveh. So what do you mean? Hatzitzin de oraita dinu. The law of Hatzitzah is a Torah law. It's explicit. The chtiv v'rachas. Now we have to read the right text over here. The chtiv v'rachas et besaro. Netanya besaro b'mayim. When it says in the pasuk that he washes his flesh in the mikveh waters, shelo ye davar chotzetz beno leben amayim. Means besaro b'mayim. To teach you what? There's no interference between your basar and the water. So what is that? That's the law of what? Hatzitza. So the Gemara said, ki ata ilcheta l'sa'aro. The pasuk is coming, the halakha b'shem is coming to tell you the laws of hatzitza in the hair. The pasuk is talking about besaro, that's his flesh, his body. Halakha b'shem comes and teaches the laws of hatzitza in the hair. Kedraba barbar hana, like Rabba Baruch Hana said. If you have one single hair and there's a knot in the hair, imagine, take the hair, make a knot in one strand of hair, hatzitza. Why? Because that's a very tight knot. In one strand of hair, you're able to make a tight knot, therefore the water is not going to be able to penetrate. So if you have one strand of hair with one knot in it, hatzitza. Shalosh enan chotzetzet. Let's say you have three hairs that are attached to each other. Now, since it's three, so it's a little thicker, so therefore the knot is not really tight enough, and therefore the water is able to penetrate. Shtayim, ene yodaya. Two, I don't know. Two already is a safek. I don't know if it's hatzitza or not. So that's how the Kamash Shem is tonight. The Kamash Shem can teach me the laws of what? Hatzitza by hair. Comes the Gemara and says, Sa'aro namid deolaita. What are you talking about? Interpositions, hatzitzot, and the hair is also a befirush deolaita. Dichtiv, nidu. Dichtiv, because it says, V'rachas et besaro b'mayim. Now we know anytime it says the word et, it's coming to include something. So it says et besaro. The Gemara says et hatafe le besaro. Not only is basar, but the item that is subordinate or auxiliary to his flesh. And what's that? Hair. His hair. So they were also Sa'ar has been there when I ate up. Umaydihu, Sa'aro, Kabra Sa'aro, Ki ata il cheta, Lechdrav Yitzchak. Now the Chacham Moshe Misinai is actually coming for a specific law that Rabbi Yitzchak taught us. But what is that? Kamar Rabbi Yitzchak. Deval Torah. From the Torah law, Rubo umakpid alav chotzetz, which means halachal Moshe Sinai by hair. Wait, as she learns by hair, the only item that's a chatzitza, you need two negatives. Rubo umakpid. Let's say the lady, she has all dirt in her hair, tar or whatever it is. But that Torah, Lacham Shemini Sinai says, and Lacham Shemini says, it has to be rov, rov of the hair, and she has to be makpid. Makpid means she's particular. She doesn't want it there.
She cares about it.
However, she cares about it. However, Deval Torah Rubo Makpid Al Chotzetz V'She'enu Makpid Alav Enu Chotzetz. Amazing. If you have rov Hatitza on the hair, but she's not makpid for whatever reason, then the Torah, she can go dip in the mikveh. That's the halakha b'shem Sinai, which is, it's teaching you the shi'ur. Now the Gemara says, v'gazru, but the rabbis came along and they made a gezera. Al rubo she'enu makpid? On any type of rov. Once it's rov, the rabbi said, asud, even if you're not makpid. Why? Mishum rubo ha-makpid. Because again, not to the case of Rubo, we are makpid. Ve'al mi'uto makpid. And they made a gizah on any case that you makpid, even if it is mi'ut. Bishum Rubo makpid. Again, because of Rubo makpid. So therefore, since Minat Torah, Rubo makpid is Asur, the rabbis will say all Rovs and all makpids. So the Gemara says, well, what's the way to do with that? V'ligzad dabe al bi'ut she'eno makpid. Let them make a gezerah on two positives. Where it's mi'ut, it's the minority, and you're not makpid. Mishum mi'ut makpid. Gezerah because of mi'ut, when you are makpid. Iname mishum rubo she'eno makpid. Or make the gezerah because of what? In the case of mi'ut ve'eno makpid. Add to the case of what? Rubo she'eno makpid. So the Gemara says, hold it. He goof a gezerah. Ve'anani kum v'nexot gezerah le'gezerah. Which is hold it. Already, that's a gezerah. You're going to make now a gezerah to a gezerah, which means you don't make two gezerot. Which means like this. Mera Torah, let's get the sources. Mera Torah, what do you have? Rubo makpid. You got to have two negatives to be asur. Rubo or makpid. Rabbis came along and said, even one negative. Mm-hmm. Rubo in all cases, or makpid in all cases. So the Gemara says, oh, well, what you're making gezerot? Go, make a gezerot even on two positives. Mi'ut and eno makpid. What? You want to make a mi'ut and eno makpid? Gezerot to a case of mi'ut, makpid. Or rov, eno makpid. Hold it. Those second tier already are a gezerot. To the Doraita. Now you're going to come and make a gezerah to a gezerah? A rabbinical decree on a rabbinical decree? But it's two steps removed. Therefore the Gemara says you don't do that. Now, it should be pointed out that we have a fantastic mahloket between Nashi and the Tosafot. Nashi's understand that this law of Rubo Makpid is specifically referring to hair. Rashi gives two cases. Look at the top line of Rashi. Rov se'aro mitunaf betit. God, he has tar or dirt in his hair, mud. Or kashur ahat ahat. Or he has the majority of his hairs are tied. Knots. All right, we said that a knot is hatzitza. So it's only when it's rubo and makpid. Umakpid alav chotzetz. However, according to Rashi, he learns that by flesh, even a mi'ut is going to be a hatzitza. The law of rubo was only said by hair. Tosfot argues. Tosfot says when it comes to flesh, it's the same law as hair. She's the rubo makpid law was said ben besar, ben bebasar. But Rashi said no. On basar we're more strict. Which even a same thing is rubo and makpid. So again, Tosfot is rubo makpid is by everything. When Rashi, it's only by Se'ar and by Basar, we are more strict even on a Mi'ut. Comes the Gemara and Kittu. So that's what it means when it says, Halakha Moshe Sinai on Hatzitza. On what? On the law of Rubo Umakpid. Because the Torah just tells us, Se'ar is Shayach to Hatzitza. That does the Shi'ur. Mm-hmm. How much? What? Torah comes and defines what the parameters of the hatzitza is. Comes again what it says. Mechitzin, right? We said the law of walls. Adamran. We said the law of walls is gonna be sukkah. That what the shiur of a sukkah has got to be 10 tefachim. That's the law of Allah Kavu Shemeshlay by walls. Yeah. Kavas Hani Hal and Biyuda. That's only going to come to the Biyuda. You need Allah Kavu Shemeshlay to teach you the walls of a sukkah. Because he's got the Mishkan, he's got the Aron at 8.5, and therefore he's got 11.5 tefachim between the Kaporet and the Kerubim, the wings. So therefore, how do you know 10? You got to have Alakam Hashem Sinai. And the Bimi Meir, Ma'ika Levimar. According to the Bimi Meir, he learns the 10 tefachim of a Sukkah from the Mishkan, from the Kerubim. So what does he do with Alakam Hashem Sinai of Mechitzin? Ki atal cheta legud. Velavud, Vedofan Akuma. This special halacha l'moshe mishnai principles by walls. What are they? First of all, the law of good. Literally, good means extension. Like we learned yesterday, there's a principle called good asik that sometimes we extend the wall upward, and then sometimes we say good ahit. You extend the wall downward. That's halacha l'moshe mishnai. We learned yesterday, lavud, right? Sometimes, if an item was within 3 to 5 of the wall, you're able to extend it to the wall. And we'll see the Gemara will give you practical applications. And then you have Dofen Akuma. So Dofen Akuma, we said, is sometimes the wall right is up and it goes across in order to make a extended wall in order to make the Sukkah Kesherah. So therefore, those laws are Halakha Moshem Sinai. So again, good, it's good ahit and good asik. Then you have Lavud and Dofen Akuma. So that's the way the Bimir will learn the Halakha Moshem Sinai. Comes the Gemara and continues. Let's review in our Mishnah what we learned on that bit. What's the minimum kosher walls for a sukkah? So our Mishnah said that you have three walls. Okay? It says, V'she'en la shalosh defanot. If it doesn't have three walls, besula. That means our Mishnah, the minimum shiur is three walls. To that, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Shtayim kelchetan, Ushnishit afilu tefah. Tana Kama says, you need two kosher walls, meaning regular, valid walls. And the third wall can even be a tefah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalosh kelchetan. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you need three kosher walls. Urbi'it afilu tefah. This is a fantastic machloket over here. What's the minimum shi'ur of walls for a kosher sukkah?
Validity.
Two in one or three in one? No. Two in one tefa or three in one tefa? No. So the Gemara says like this. B'maika mepalge. What's the machloket over here? Rabbanan sabri yesh em lemasoret, v'nabi shimon sabar yesh em lemikra. Okay, let's review this principle of Em L'Mikra and Em L'Masorah. The Torah, in its words, are read a certain way, but sometimes they're written and spelled a different way. So, take, for example, the word Sukkot. Sometimes the Sukkah is spelled in the Torah, Masukot, Bet, Samich, Chaf, Taf. That is not the Kodot in the Torah. So there's a silent vav in there. Basukot. That's the way you read it. But the way it's spelled is Baskat. Now what's the difference between Basukot or Baskat? Basukot is plural. Baskat is Basukat, and the Baskat is one. So therefore, there's a great mahalokah throughout Shas. When you have options to learn the Mikra, the way it's read, or the Masoret. Masoret is a tradition. The way it's spelled, where do you give the priority to? Em means priority. So one rabbi says, Yesh Em L'Mikra. When you give it the Rashot, you give the priority to the Mikra. Another rabbi says, no, Em L'Masoret. You Doresh the Masoret the way it is written. Now, how is this going to manifest itself in our Machloket? So the Gemara says, L'Banan Savri Yesh Em L'Masoret. The rabbis go the way it's spelled. The Masoret, the tradition. Baskat, Baskat, Basukot. The Torah says Basukot in the Torah three times. One time it's spelled with a vav, so you read it Basukot. The other times it's written Chaser. So how many do you have? Baskat is one. Baskat is one. Basukot two. Is two. Four. So you got four Sukkot. Harekan Arba. Dal Had Ligufe. But whenever you make the Rashot, you got to knock one off for itself to teach me the law of Sukkah. So now you knock one off, what do you have left?
Three.
So I got three Sukkahs left. Shtayim kilchatan. So three of them teach me. Two regular walls, but I got one more. Ve'ata ilcheta ve'gara'ata l'shlishit ve'ukma atefah. The Halakha Moshe Mitzrayim comes along and tells me that what? That the third one doesn't have to be a full wall. It's have to be a tefah. So if I know three walls of the Torah, Halakha Moshe Mitzrayim tells me that the third wall, it doesn't have to be a complete wall. It's enough to be just a tefah. Good? That's the way Rabbana will learn. The Rabbi Shimon says, no. You go the way it's read. Masukot, Masukot, Masukot.
Six.
Hare kan shesh. They have six. Each one is two. How are you going to knock them down? Well, he says like this. Dal had kra legufe. You got to take one basukot away, just to teach it alone. You got to send the sukkah. That's legufe. So therefore, you have four left because you took away one word. You took the sheets. That's why the Rashi Gemara's language is very clear. Dal had kra. Take one of the pesukim away for itself. So now you have four left. Pashul hu arba. Shalosh kilchetan. So that teaches me what? That you need three walls. Kotel halacha. Atay hilcheta v'garachata l'rbi'it v'ukmeta atefah. And the halacha l'moshim is like, comes as the fourth wall to be a tefah. So you see how it works? Either it's two and one tefah, or three and one tefah. Based on what? Em l'mikra or em l'masoret. Now the Gemara is going to give different options. V'ima etema. I can tell you another way. Explain this machloket. Everybody will tell you go with the mikra. Basukot. Six. The pelge. So you know what the machloket over here is? Mor samar sikicha ba'ya kera. Umor samar sikicha lo ba'ya kera. That's the question. Which means you're starting off with six. Well, everybody holds one of them you need for sukkah. No, for sukkah. For the fact, the law. Sukkah. Okay, so everybody, you started with six, you got down to four. Now the question is, do you need another sukkah to tell me schach? So one rabbi says, yeah, you need a sukkah for schach. So therefore you end up with what? Three. You got three, so that tells me two walls, and one, now the government is recite tefah. The other rabbi says, what are you talking about? What's a sukkah? A sukkah is schach. I don't need a special pasuk for sukkah, and another one for schach. Therefore, I have four. Three walls, one tefah. Three, plus the fourth wall, but the fourth wall, you can minimize it by the government recite taking it to a tefah. That's the second way of learning. Good?
Yes.
Now we have a third way of learning. Okay. Oh, go the other way. According to everybody, you go to Masoret. Baskat, Masukot. So you're starting with four. Take away one for Sukkah. So now you're down to three. Vehacha behacha mepalge. Mor sabar ki ata el cheta legareya. Umor sabar ki ata el cheta leosif. Everybody means there's halakha moshe v'sinai going on over here. The question is, what is the purpose of the halakha moshe v'sinai? So one rabbi says it's coming to minimize. Now if you have three, two walls, and the third one, minimize. The third one, it's a tefah. Another rabbi says, no. The halakha moshe not coming to minimize. It's coming to add. Which means the Torah says three walls? Okay. Add a fourth wall of a tefah. Understand?
Yeah.
Three walls of the Torah. Harakam Hashem said, I put another one. It's not coming to minimize what you have, it's coming to add.
Mm-hmm.
Good? That's how you have the machloket. Give another way. V'ibaitema, dekule alma ki ata elcheta legareya. V'yesh eb lebasoret. Oh, how could you get out of this one? You're starting off with four. Baskat, masoret. Okay? So you have four. Everybody agrees that Halakha Moshe is coming to minimize the last wall, that it only has to be a
tefah.
So the Chavra, if you have four, and we always say you got to knock off one because to teach you Sukkah, so you have three. So three means two and one because it's coming to minimize. No. Haka bedurshin tehilot ka bepalge. The machloket is over. Do you have to subtract the first one or not? Are you able to be doresh the first one? Dorshin tehilot. Mor sabah dorshin tehilot. The first rabbi says, you know what? Yeah, you need the first sukkah to teach me a garsin of sukkah, but you can also doresh it. It counts. That's part of the number. Therefore, the one is for itself, but you count it also in the number. And therefore, you have what? Three. What is three? Which means, according to this opinion, you start off with four, right? So you end up with four, correct? Because Dershin Tehilot. So it's three, and the Halakha Moshe takes the fourth wall. Tefa. Umo Sabar And Dorshim Techilot. And Hakamim said, no. Hey, the first one is for itself. You cannot Doresh it. So therefore, you start off with four, knock it down to three. And Hakamim says, coming to Mimayit. So you end up with two and one. Hakamim Geveirem is over here. According to the opinion of Rabbanan, if you look at the way the word Sukkah is spelled, the first letter is a Samich. A Samich has four sides. That represents the most kosher Sukkah of four walls. The next letter of Sukkah is a Chaf. That's three walls. And that's the next best level. But the minimum level is a He. A He is two walls and a Tefach. So therefore you had that little line coming out of it. So that's the Shita of Hachamim. Comes the Gemara, gives the last opinion. Rabbatna Amar Ta'amayu de Rabbi Shimon Mehacha. The logic of Rabbi Shimon that says you need three walls plus a fourth, because the Pasuk says V'sukah teyel letzel Yomam mechorev ulmachseh ulmistor mezerem ubematar. She's the Torah says that what is the Sukkah's purpose? It has to be a shelter. A shelter from what?
A refuge from rain,
from water. Now if you're going to have a Sukkah that has two walls, so it's open up. Half the Sukkah is wide open. It's not going to protect you from rain. So therefore, what type of Sukkah's got to protect you from rain? You got to have four walls. So three. And the fourth wall, a tefach lefachot, it'll block the rain. So according to David, said that Asha from a pasuk. Comes the bottom to his foot and says, V'sukkah tiyeh letzel, b'irushal v'yamninan, ta'amad v'nebishamon min hada kariyah. It's from the following pasuk. V'sukkah tiyeh letzel yomam mechorev, hare achat. The first purpose of the sukkah is what? Shade. From the sun, that's one wall. L'machseh ulmastor. And protection, hare shtayim, that's the second wall. Mezerim u'mematar, shnayim. From Zerim, from a flow of water, and from rain, two more. So if he's learning from the words of the Pasuk, each one is coming to include another wall. Rabbanan, Amre, Mezerim u'matar achat. They come along and say, Zerim u'matar, it's water. A flow of water, rain, it's one item. Therefore, you only have to have three walls. Two and a tefach. That's a very, very important machloket to remember. Machloket tana'im over here, on the minimum amount of walls that is kasher for a sukkah. Baruch Adonai le'olam.
Amen.
For the benefit of our listeners to Masechet Sukkah, we are referring to several books when we refer to illustrations and pictures. One of them is Hamma'or Hamivu'ar. That is the picture book on Masechet Sukkah, and also a new book called Ha-Hod Ve-Ha-Hadar. So we will refer to it on the tapes and in the audio. We'll refer to both of those books, and as well Perush Hai on Masechet Sukkah.